It's Brady Cats. Move your cats along the fence, but watch out for that doggone bulldog.
But does that mean Skeeter's gonna die?
Yeah.
Welcome to Cartoon Tonic, the podcast where we drink and watch cartoons. My name is Brian Duchler. Joining me, as always, the two best co-hosts this side of the Mississippi, Kayla and Josiah. How are you guys?
Doing okay. How are you? Good.
I want to point out just this side of the Mississippi. You are not doing well on the other side of the Mississippi.
Yeah, I wasn't going to ask about it because I was going to take the win, but that's fine. You know, we could definitely afford more losses right now.
I'll take it. That's fine.
Need you guys to step it up just a little bit, just for the other side of the Mississippi. It's fine. Guys, I'm excited to do this episode. But before we get into that, what are we drinking today?
Okay, I'm very excited about that. Maybe we should tell them what episode we're doing because it'll make more sense. But the show that we're doing and the episode that we're doing, there is a song that includes a trash can or a garbage can. And so I took that as inspiration and comboed it with the fact that we don't really have access to a lot of actual mixers and other alcoholic beverages right now. So I created a shot called Garbage. It's not even garbage shot or garbage can. It's just garbage. And the way you make it is you go to your liquor cabinet and you taste everything. And the things that don't immediately make you go, whew, you put that in a shaker. And then you put as many ice cubes as you have in the shaker. And then you shake it up. And then you put it in a shot glass. And if you have any assortment of fruit, go ahead and just like blend that up and throw it in there too.
Good Lord. Ooh. Is that what you did with this? And she hasn't told me anything of what's in this.
What I did for one of them is I stacked the fruit syrup thingy with the liquor on top of it. So it has this cool slash gross gradient color. Otherwise, you can just mix it all up and it's all going to taste the same because it's all garbage. Awesome. So that's what Sai and I are going to be doing a shot of. Unfortunately, I couldn't bring any garbage over to Brian, but we're gonna enjoy some garbage.
Sorry, bud, you're gonna have to find your own garbage.
Super grateful for social distancing right now.
What are you drinking over on the other side of town?
I am drinking Bell's Lager of the Lakes. I got one in a build your own six pack, and I liked it so much that I got a whole case of it.
Very nice.
Well, Bell's is my favorite brewery out of Comstock, Michigan. I love those guys. It's a Bohemian Pilsner. And I feel like a lot of time Pilsners get kind of a bad rap because all of your budget go-to beers tend to be Pilsners. But this is a craft Pilsner. It's got a little more oomph to it.
It's fancy garbage.
It gives you a little kick, you know. It is delicious.
Very so that's nice. What I'm having.
It is not very garbage. Nice. It's very delicious.
No.
We almost had one of our favorite beverages is the orange pop, Henry's hard orange pop, because we're children.
Yep.
But somebody, speaking of like make your own six packs, my mom, who works at a hospital and unfortunately cannot do all of the social distancing, she's a very wonderful and giving person, and she offered to go do some shopping for us. And she was going to get us Henry's, except when she went to pick it up, somebody had just swiped one out of the six pack, and they can't discount alcohol when they sell it. And they can't really be like, well, okay, you're getting a five pack, I guess. So unfortunately we couldn't get that, but just reminded me of somebody stealing our beer.
That's fine.
And it's literally the worst thing that's ever happened.
There could be nothing worse going on right now.
People are animals at the grocery store right now.
It's true. So do you want to take this shot really fast before we get into it and give the big reveal, or we want to?
I think we should give the reveal of what it is first.
Okay, because I'm not telling you specifically what's in it until you drink it.
Oh, I know. I know the deal.
Perfect. So today we're watching Doug.
Yay!
And I could not be more excited. Doug was one of the OG Nickelodeon shows. It released on August 11th, 1991.
Wow.
And it consisted, its original run of 52 episodes, which I think probably the majority of us are familiar with. But it was rebooted by Disney when they acquired the series in 1996.
Was yeah. it?
It was. And it was most of the voice cast was recast. And I never watched it. I wasn't a big Disney fan at the end mm-hmm. of the 90s. So I think I didn't really catch it. But most of the people that I talked to that have watched the Disney version, not a fan.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So I am thinking that at some point we might want to revisit the Disney run of this just to compare and contrast the two later date.
I feel like I've seen it like a little bit, but not really. I remember disliking it. It's the one you may have seen it. Like there are newer versions of the characters, like Petty Mayonnaise, which is one of the main characters, has like shorter hair in it. And like Skeeter looks a little bit different too.
No, I don't know that I remember a distinct difference. I thought it was just like an OG Nicktoon. I don't know that I remember it being on Disney, but if it was Disney-ified, like I don't like anything that changes the voice actors. You know what I mean? Like, yeah that's like 50% of the show, if not more. So when you change it, I don't know.
Especially considering that one of the original voice casts was Billy West, who is one of my favorite voice actors.
Yeah.
And he only did it during...
good.
He is, and he only did the original run. I do remember when I looked up these notes, I remember Disney's like rebranding of it. The art looked a little different. The voices were different. But I remember them promoting it as its title at the time was Brand Spanking New Doug. That's what they called it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Which I
That's
obviously.
What? A weird way to promote.
Yeah. And
so like their old school 80s ad execs who are like, you know what? It's brand spanking new. Like, yep. No, that's so tired. Why would you? Okay.
All the right. kids at the Hootenanny are going to love this brand spanking new Doug. But it obviously worked because that original run was 52 episodes. And by the end of it, it was 117 episodes. So it did run for quite a bit longer. It did wrap up in 1999. But that was, apparently, it was still doing well as a top-rated show and inspired books, merchandise, a live musical stage show, a theatrical feature, and a movie called Doug's First Movie, which I do have slight memories of that. So,
whoa,
oh my.
Theatrical feature? Yeah, what is that?
Who got cast as Doug?
I think the theatrical feature was probably a direct-to-TV movie, I'm guessing.
Gotcha,
it probably wasn't live action.
Oh, but no, it was Tobey Maguire, wasn't it?
Where my brain went.
Yeah. We'll talk about our dream casting for the live action Doug later. But today we're talking about the original run, the Nickelodeon run, which we're all familiar with. Do you guys have strong Doug memories?
I have quite a few, kind of like what I have with the other cartoons, where it's snippets of weird stuff from the show. I think one of the most memorable full-on plots that I can remember from the cartoon is where Roger the bully is shown to like have really good artistic skills.
I do remember that.
You remember that one? Yeah. And Doug keeps like trying to show that he's faking it or whatever. And then he shows Doug that he can actually do that. And he gets like one color of paint and is able to paint like a mural of several colors. And he's like, how'd you do that? He's like, yeah, I'm pretty good. But yeah, that's that and like Quail Man.
Oh,
Quail Man.
Yeah.
You remember Quail Man?
Now that you've said Quail Man, my memories of this are pretty limited. I have this thing where I get earworms really, really, really easily, and that they'll stick around for decades. And honestly, when we talked about doing Doug, I was a little anxious, especially with the specific episode that we're doing, because this is probably like one of the strongest memories of my childhood, and I can't get it out of my head once it starts.
So much so that it inspired a random cocktail that you made for you and your husband.
Yeah, we're going to be generous and call it a cocktail. I appreciate that. Uh-huh.
This is the number one thing. I'll take that back. This is the number two Doug memory that pops up for me. This one is very strong. Just merely mentioning banging on a trash can is going to, you know, spark some memories in our listeners. But there actually is one episode that stuck with me more. And I talked about it with my wife earlier, and she didn't remember it. And I think for a second, both of us were like, okay, maybe it wasn't Doug. But it is an episode where they're dipping bananas in pizza sauce and apparently that becomes like a food trend.
Oh man, that does sound weirdly familiar.
Yes. That would be like your nightmare food, Ty.
It would, yeah. That would suck for me.
And I have a really cool mom. I want to preface this. And after I watched this episode as a child, I asked her if I could try it. And she instantly whipped out a can of pizza sauce from the cabinet. And I dipped a banana and tried it. And it was terrible. But that's how cool my mom is. She's like, do your thing.
Okay, but like, really, she was more like, I'm going to watch this kid dunk a banana in some pizza sauce. It drives me crazy all day. He can eat this.
I don't know what her motivation was, but...
She went and got your dad and was like, look at what I made this stupid son of a bitch eat.
Hey, look at this dumbass going to dip a banana in pizza sauce. For some reason, that stuck with me more than anything out of this show. That and everyone having just a really annoying nasally voice, like every single character.
Yeah.
You know?
Skeeter's scatting is what stayed with me. Police Academy impressions or whatever.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty fun. There's the Beats, which are like the famous rock band in there, which is like a play of the Beatles. Yeah, remember that.
I have a distinct memory of naming an injured bird that we found outside Skeeter. and then my cat eating it. So there's that joyful memory to go with Skeeter. Yeah, he was going to die anyways, really. But yeah, I got that going for me. We named it after the show. I don't know why. It was a cool name.
Did your siblings actually like this one?
You know, I'm not sure if Jenna did. I think Corey watched it enough to, like, he would probably have some stronger memories than I do. But he's also my older brother, so he was probably a little older when it came out, a little easier for him to watch it.
Yeah.
I was very young when this came out. I can't do the math because I was sipping garbage while trying to make these drinks. So
sipping garbage.
I have a little bit more information on the Disney acquisition because it's a little interesting. Apparently, the original order Nickelodeon did was for 65 episodes, which they would air like regular seasons, 13 episodes. But after four seasons, which is that 52 episodes that they did, Nickelodeon didn't want to make the other 13 because apparently it was really expensive to make the show, which is a little surprising. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, not to be
all
a jerk.
3D animation.
Yeah, but of all shows to be expensive, Doug does not strike me as like a highly costly animated show.
No.
If I were
action sequences, I don't know.
If I were to guess, I would say it was probably, actually it says right here, but if I had to guess what maybe one of the bigger reasons was, I would imagine it was this show probably didn't have a lot of merchandise that was super popular compared to other Nickelodeon shows at the time. And then apparently after, basically there was interest from ABC in purchasing the rest of like the series for Doug, and then Walt Disney bought ABC, and then they also included Doug in on that multi-million dollar deal so they could create the Doug cartoons. And the reason apparently that Billy West didn't come back was Disney said they could not afford him, which is kind of surprising.
Disney? Disney can't afford you?
Yeah, Disney. That Disney. Could not afford Billy West.
Disney that owns the universe, like almost literally.
Yeah. So, was a little background on that acquisition. I don't understand why that show would be any more or less expensive than what was also Nickelodeon at the time, Rugrats.
Yeah.
So that was really early 90s.
I think around
90s.
That moment, it was Our Real Monsters, Rugrats, Doug, and there was one other, I think that was part of like the OG actual trio outside of Our Real Monsters.
The only thing that I can think of is that it did have a lot of characters that kind of cycled through as main characters, so maybe they had a lot of like bigger name voice actors that, I mean, this is all speculation.
Yeah,
I have no idea, but
I mean, I can understand them saying, well, we can't exactly merchandise this show, what are we gonna do, make like character, they're not action figures because nothing happens.
I don't remember a single Doug toy or anything.
You know what I mean?
Now I think about it, is at the time Nickelodeon was doing a lot of live action shows, a lot of their game shows, Salute Your Shorts and stuff like that, and all of those are much cheaper to make than cartoons, so maybe that's why they didn't want to continue it.
Not that it was terribly expensive, but compared to the other shows that were pulling in more money, it just wasn't making as much as they would like.
Yeah.
Yeah. All those like live action shows, just a bunch of kid actors. You don't got to pay them squat. So,
yeah, no, they're just happy to be there and fed. Yeah. Yeah.
Interns.
Meanwhile, Billy West, fuck off, dude. So I think we stalled enough. I think you guys need to take your shot.
Oh, I was hoping you'd just forget.
I mean, like I said, the way I chose the booze that went into this is I sipped it. I mean, you heard me go, oh, like that, that didn't go in. I'll tell you what that was.
It's like three rooms away.
I'm just going to continue to drink my craft beer that has nothing weird in it.
You couldn't even get like a white trash beer just to be on point with this.
Well, before we take our shots, I'm going to our non-alcoholic beverage of this week is going to be water, much like last week and the week before that. Yep. However, this water has very nice ice cubes. The way you would make this non-alcoholic beverage is to use water, preferably from a filter in the fridge, or if you have a Brita, put that into a glass and then put a couple cubes of frozen water into the glass as well. And you're going to want to consume that a little bit slowly because you don't want to give yourself a brain freeze. And that'll be our non-alcoholic beverage for the week.
Wait, hold on. Slow down. I'm writing this down.
Are you ready to do the shot?
The brain freeze part. That's what gets me.
Oh, I mean, you got a hand weave.
Yeah.
To be fair, I gave you the smaller shot.
That is true.
And also the less stacked shot. So what I'm looking at here is there's some, I'm going to call it berry compote because I'm not telling you what it is yet.
Oh, that smells like so many things.
Are you ready?
It looks like hot sauce. I'm just going to throw that out there.
It's not
hot
sauce.
That's probably what mine is.
It's not hot sauce. Cheers. You okay?
It's not terrible. It is oddly spicy, which I'm concerned about. Is yours not spicy?
It should not be spicy.
Wait, well, what?
Now I'm worried.
Okay, so in that shot was a little bit of raspberry vodka, vanilla vodka, dark spice rum, white rum. But what didn't go in it was some cognac that I found in the back of that.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yep, we're not putting cognac in it. But I also put a little bit of MD 2020 orange flavor. and there was just the lightest bit of some gin, which maybe that's where you're getting the spice.
Could be.
All that was put into a shaker. And then afterwards, I was like, this needs some fruit because it needed fruit. We have to be healthy. And so I nuked up some frozen strawberries real fast, mashed those up, and just put it in there.
What the hell? I didn't notice any of that you were doing.
I feel like that should be called like the Taylor septic tank.
It is a weird spice that's like only in the back of my throat. So
yeah, I'm getting a little bit. I mean, that could have been one of the rums or there's just so many things in there.
I feel like a rum and gin that might make some weird spicy notes.
Fighting back there.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's our garbage. It's not even trash can.
Not as bad as I thought.
Yeah.
Good job.
And, you know, if you are wanting and able to drink alcohol, you can make one at home. The cool thing is you don't actually have to know what's in it. You just sip something. If it doesn't make you go, ugh, throw it in the mixer.
Hey, kids, Kayla says just mix things together and drink it.
Not kids. If you are legally allowed to drink and are interested, it's a fun technique for when you have just a little bit of everything left and no mixers.
Just rummage around under the sink and pour whatever you find into a glass.
Oh, my God, no. Oh, I don't condone that. Don't sue me. Don't at me either. No ads.
Just don't talk to her. Just don't talk to her.
Yeah, it's fine. Actually, that's the opposite. I really want people to come talk to me on Facebook. I'm a hoot.
you sound like a late 90s Disney exec.
I'm a hoot. It's brand spanking new.
How can we market this to kids?
Also, for some reason, you developed a like Minnesotan accent.
I was aiming for it. I'm glad it came out.
Okay there, coach. Let's put some Doug on there now.
Oh, gosh.
Saya, I heard you might have a few fun facts before we hop into this episode.
I did. I pulled up some interesting tidbits. One is
some
that...
Some tidbits, eh?
Hey, you know, I'm trying to go with
these
some...
These tidbits are going to be a hoot.
Man, it's going to be great. Doug was originally going to be called Brian, but they saw that that, or they felt like that was too fancy for a Doug, so they moved on.
Did
that.
You see? Did you see why originally that it was named Brian?
No.
Originally, the creator, it was a mock-up character. He had drawn it or had used it in a couple other things, but he had always felt like he wanted just the most basic, boring, run-of-the-mill name. And he said if he were to have created Doug back in like the 50s, the name would have been Joe, because that was the most run-of-the-mill Joseph, Joe, whatever name.
Hey, man.
And then because he didn't make it in the 50s, he made it in the 90s. He said the most boring name would be Brian.
Is that Brian with an I or with a Y?
It was with an I. It was B-R-I-A-N. But
we're both slightly boring, Brian. I mean,
no. We got a Joe and a Brian.
I'm Brian with the Y. It doesn't count.
Completely different. So.
Yeah, that sounds way different. It just sounds completely different.
Shut up, Kayla.
Another factoid, the creator tried publishing a book called Doug Got a New Pair of Shoes, but was never able to make the deal. So when he was meeting with the Nickelodeon executives, that's actually what got the show. They saw his little book, Doug Got a New Pair of Shoes, and that's they loved it so much that that's why they kicked it off.
If he would have named it Doug Got a Brand Spanking New Pair of Shoes,
yeah,
boy would have been published.
Yeah, if he would have took exactly that to Disney, they would have completely froze their Hootenanny and the town social that they were doing that weekend. They would have instantly started making Doug.
Everybody would have had to put their shoes back on. There are no sock hops here. We are watching brand spanking new Doug with his brand new fancy shoes.
Well, you don't got to worry about that. There's no dancing in that town. It's like the town from Footloose, so it's good.
Yeah, no hootenannies.
So the characters, Patty, Skeeter, and Roger, are all based on real-life crush, best friend, and bully that Jenkins, the creator, actually had in middle school and high school.
His friend's name was really Skeeter.
I have no idea if those were his real names, but apparently, though he lost touch with all his friends and everybody that he created it with, he eventually reached out to what would be his Patty Mayonnaise.
Gross.
And sent her a card telling her, yeah, pay close attention to the character, which is...
Slightly creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little creepy. I had we'll talk about it after, a weird experience. Continue.
And then he called her and he's like, every move you make
will be on a Nicktoon.
Oh, man. So last one I got is, before having his own show, Doug was featured in a 1989 Florida grapefruit commercial. The ad featured Doug bouncing around on a pogo stick with a glass of grapefruit juice in his hand.
That sounds like quite a feat to not spill your juice or fall over or...
And we'll have to...
Get it in your eye. It's very acidic.
Yeah. I wonder how that worked out for... the muse of Patty Mayonnaise and Jenkins, the creator. I wonder if she reached out and was like, yeah, all right, no, let's do this.
Restraining order.
Yeah, for real, sure. Though.
That's
for real.
I made a whole series based on my infatuation with you.
I was a child, and I decided to send you a postcard about it.
And
I gave you a really weird name.
Maybe that was you. I'll be watching you.
Oh, God.
We'll have to post a link to the really weird grapefruit commercial, because it is very strange to see a weirdly animated Doug jumping around on a pogo stick.
Yeah, I'd be down to watch it.
Absolutely. All right, anything else you guys want to cover before we hop into this episode?
On a pogo stick.
Good transition.
No, let's bounce to it.
You guys suck.
The bad thing is none of us can fire each other because we created this together. Please join us after this break, and we're going to discuss Doug.
Just kidding, folks. We forgot to tell you what episode of the show that we're watching. So it's going to be season 3, episode 12. We are watching it on Hulu. So if you'd like to watch it with us, go ahead and cue that up. And we'll see you after the show.
And we're back.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. It was a hoot.
That was a hoot nanny. That was a hoot and a half. That was brand spanking new. What else did we say earlier?
Town social. Hoot nanny. Where did hoot nanny?
Jamboree. I don't know.
Jamboree.
All
oh
the above.
My goodness. Okay.
This was a insane smack of nostalgia.
Yeah.
This entire thing from beginning to end.
I want to say thank you to the listeners for suggesting this one, because it's one that I totally forgot about, and I'm happy we hit.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I will get into it. I am very happy we watched this episode. It was very entertaining, and we're going to get into a episode description for y'all. But also, I'm never getting this out of my head, and I'm mourning my sanity a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, let's talk about, so it's segmented. The episode is segmented. It's got two parts. The first part of which is Doug and the Yard of Doom. So we'll just jump right into the episode description. Doug, Skeeter, and Patty are all playing with the, was it Wit?
Wacky Whizzer.
The Wacky Whizzer, which is a frisbee that makes a whizzing noise when
also,
you throw it.
That's a nickname for my penis. Go on.
You see, when you jump in as I'm finishing a word, it makes it so difficult to cut it out of the final edit, but...
Hey, I know what I'm doing here.
So they're throwing around Brian's penis, and eventually a dog savages it. Okay, so...
Just as I remember.
Wait a minute.
So our characters are throwing around this frisbee, and Patty says, "Oh, hey, that's my dad. I got to go to Taekwondo," and goes to leave. And it happens that the whizzer actually belongs to Patty. So she goes to go to the car and drive away. And the two guys are like, "Hey, let us keep playing with this toy." And she says, "Cool, sure. We're friends. Let's do that." Immediately, with like Patty can't even have driven away by this point. Skeeter goes, "Hey, Doug, go long," and whips the frisbee super, super, super far, and it delicately lands into this very high fenced yard. And there wasn't a house like that in the neighborhood that I grew up. There wasn't really like that creepy witch person or like evil dog yard or really anything like that. But that is what we're dealing with in this episode of Doug. So Doug goes,
"If you don't notice it, you're the house."
Oh, it's shoot. Oh, my God. I need a
just
minute.
Just saying. We're the only ones that never got, like, trick-or-treaters.
Yeah, you know, I can see that.
Oh, my God. So, wow. Okay, hold on. I'm just coming to grips with that. We were the bad house. We were the Malcolm in the Middle house. We were...
While Kayla recovers, one of the first things that jumped out at me was Doug is voiced by Billy West, and it's very obvious because he sounds exactly like Fry from Futurama.
Yeah.
Like slowed down Fry.
"Is it okay if we borrow your wacky wizard for a while?"
That was tripping me up.
Yep. Like I just, yep, if you closed your eyes, it was Fry. So anyways, this wacky whizzer lands in a high fenced yard, and Doug goes running in, and Skeeter goes, "Wait, no, lady," which is the ironic name for a gigantic, ill-tempered dog that wears a bow. I think I remember a bow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a pink bow.
That wears a bow that defends this yard. And Doug goes running in and then notices that this dog is like literally eating the gutters off the side of the house, trying to climb the house to get to the wacky wizard to eat it.
Yep.
And he goes, "Maybe not. Maybe I better send my friend in instead." So Doug goes running out of the yard, and it like starts this really interesting and really kind of well done Indiana Jones parody.
Yes, it was awesome.
With Doug as Indiana Jones and what were they calling Skeeter? Skeetaria or something like that?
Skeetario or, yeah, it was something weird, but he was like his guide.
Yeah, like, so in the very first sequence of Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones is going to grab the golden idol, and he has a guide that's leading him through it who gets killed by the poison darts. So that entire time, I'm like, are they going to kill Skeeter? Because there were poison darts in
there. Yeah, there were poison darts. Thankfully, he had a dartboard that he tossed up, and it caught
ironic,
all the darts.
Right. Ironic dartboard yes. for the darts. It's very funny.
It was well done. I really appreciated that part.
It was very well done. So Doug has become like the major adventurer. He's like the tough guy in the situation and is going to go get the wizard as Indiana Jones. And they kind of go back and forth between this imagination sequence of him as Indiana Jones and them actually trying to come up with a plan to distract the dog enough to go into the yard to get the wizard. Because as they say, Patty's going to kill them if they don't return their toy.
Well, she does martial like, arts, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess she could.
Just walks up behind Skeeter, breaks his neck.
She shoots poison darts at him.
So, first, they try... Oh, I forget. I remember a sandwich.
Oh, it was a
first?
No, it was a rubber stake.
Right,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. In Indiana Jones, they as they're going through their cave, there's also a big scary dog, and in the... like imagination sequence, he throws this gigantic stake to him and it distracts him and he's able to get the wizard, which is where the golden idol would be, and run away. But in real life animated Yard of Doom, they can't afford it. And they just like quickly say a throwaway, we couldn't afford a good cut of steak. So we did the next best thing, which is a steak chew toy. Like it does the squeak and everything when they grab it. So I threw this chew toy over the fence and Lady immediately just destroys it and somehow throws it back.
Yeah.
So then their next plan is to use food, like actual food, and they use a salami sandwich tied with string to a stick. And Doug's plan is that he's going to dangle the sandwich over the fence and Skeeter is going to quickly tiptoe into the yard and pull the Wacky Wizard down from the gutters. Things don't go well.
Solid plan.
But just before Skeeter goes into the yard, he says, hey, wait, why am I the one having to go into the yard? And the way that he just made it all okay was Doug just said, well, I'm the one dangling.
Yeah.
And Skeeter was like, okay, solid logic, bro. I'm going to go into this dangerous yard now. Unfortunately... As Skeeter goes to tiptoe into the yard, the dog is distracted for a moment, but none other than Miss Patty Mayonnaise walks up and Doug, like kind of the bro that he's being, decides that he's not going to stay the course and stick with the plan and keep his best friend safe. He's going to save face with the chick that just walked up. He turns around and the dog gets the sandwich and quickly eats the sandwich, and Skeeter realizes this and goes to run to escape the yard. And we just see the fence like being shoved against Doug's back while Doug is just telling Patty, no, we don't, we can't play with the Wacky Wizard right now. I'll find you later. We'll hang out later. And she says something to the effect of, well, you're acting strange, but I guess I'll see you later. And the entire time, his best friend is trying to escape a dog that's going to maul him.
Skeeter's just screaming bloody murder on the side of the fence.
They put a joke in there, so when Doug finally opens the fence, like Skeeter is just in his underwear. The dog like chewed up all of his clothes.
Yeah.
And so when Skeeter escapes, he goes, oh, thank God I had on two pairs of socks today, meaning that if he didn't have on two pairs of socks, he would be buck naked.
Okay. Yeah.
Which I thought was a fun joke.
Huh. I just thought, yeah, it was convenient. So but apparently that one just...
No, it basically was like, if I didn't have two pairs of socks, you'd be seeing my wiener right now. You'd be seeing my Wacky Wizard right now.
I was going to say, you'd be seeing his wizard.
Skeeter wiener.
Skeeter weezer. Oh, God. Okay, so there's no Skeeter wizard. And they decide that they've escaped the yard. And now they're going to figure out a different plan to distract this dog, whose name is Lady. So they're assuming its gender is female. And they go back to presumably Doug's house and decide to try and negotiate with his dog, Porkchop.
Porkchop.
To seduce Lady, as dogs do.
can we talk about Porkchop for a second?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
He was only in this episode like a little bit, but he's like, for the second time on the show, an extremely intelligent dog, right?
Yeah.
Like he walks on two legs. He can't talk, but he can communicate with gestures. I feel like he can like draw and stuff. Like he's able to like communicate with them in other ways. I remember loving Porkchop as a kid. Like I thought that he was just like the coolest character. He was fun. I wish he was a little more prominent in this episode, but what he does next, which Kayla's going to explain, is just pure brilliance.
So after some negotiation on the terms and conditions of Porkchop's involvement in seducing this dog named Lady, they decide that that's what they're going to do. Porkchop agrees, and they go to the yard, and Porkchop has somehow set up a really nice cloth tablecloth on this really nice low table, and he like seductively struts over to where Lady is, and she's like confused at first, but like not digging it. And then he's got this like heart-shaped box, which for humans would have chocolates, which might have actually worked better. Would have been a really bad outcome, but might have worked better.
Because he would have killed her?
He's got this heart-shaped box, which traditionally would hold chocolates, but instead, when he opens the top, it reveals a bone with a nice little bow on it. And he, like...
Metaphor.
Oh my god, he gave her the bone.
He boned her.
I missed that too. Oh, okay. So while the seduction is happening, Skeeter and Doug are in the background, creeping their way over to the wizard, which is a weird sentence. And sorry, it just threw me for a second. Creeping their way over to the wizard, and a romance is budding between Lady and Porkchop, and Lady's eyes turn into hearts, and she becomes enamored with Porkchop until they get the wizard, but they make so much noise that Lady is distracted from her would-be lover and looks over and sees two humans in her yard stealing the toy that she really wants to chew. And the spell is broken. And I would like to imagine that Lady had her heart broken a little bit then, too. Like, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, she thought, all right.
Like, she like just recently started trusting again.
Yeah. And yeah. Life has been really hard.
Quite the backstory you guys are coming up with.
Oh, there could be more if you want.
Yeah. Don't test us.
You want your heart broken. I can do it. So Lady, speaking of heartbreak, has her heart shattered. And she decides to take her rage and her loneliness and all the emptiness that she now feels in her heart. And she's going to take it out on the intruders that are in her yard trying to steal the toy that she would like to chew. So a chase scene ensues. There's a pogo stick involved, meaning Doug is on the pogo stick. We've said some weird things. I feel like I should specify. Doug rides the pogo stick with Skeeter on his back, and Skeeter's covering his eyes so Doug can't see where he's going. But he has the wacky wizard, and Porkchop is running, and it's just this big, like, calamitous scene. And they finally escape the yard, but those dummies, they forget to close the gate.
Yep.
And so they're, oh, hey, we escaped and this is all good. And who is there except Lady in the doorway of the yard, the gateway of the yard? And she comes out and she's walking slowly and she is going to just, she's going to murder somebody. You know, she hurt people. And it applies to cartoon animated dogs as well. Cartoon animated dogs that are hurt other creatures. Anyways. So she goes to attack them, and Doug instructs Skeeter to just give her the wizard. And that's how they escape. She chews the wizard to crap, and for some reason they are allowed then to take the toy out of the yard. That's not really made clear to us.
That was a little weird.
But they take, after that whole ordeal, they show up to Patty Manny's house with a broken wizard to apologize and presumably be killed. And they're all beaten up and all like dusty, and they've got scratch marks on them from riding a pogo stick, and they very like ashamedly admit, yeah, we destroyed your toy. And Patty just goes, hey man, I wish that you would have told me sooner, because my dad gets these for free from work, because apparently he works at a wizard factory. That's a thing. you guys could have just had another one. You didn't have to do all of that. And that's the moral of the story. If we would have just been honest with our friend from the get-go, we wouldn't have irrevocably damaged the heart of one Lady the dog. And also, we wouldn't have these scratches. And that is the first segment of this particular episode of Doug, which again is season 3, episode 12 on Hulu, which is where we're watching it.
Yeah, that was something. I remember seeing when I was doing some research too, that the creator wanted that to be the main takeaway for most of the episodes, is the importance of honesty and telling the truth and stuff. So that's a lot of, you know, the moral of pretty much every episode.
Because he was like, if only I was honest with Patty Mayonnaise when I was a kid, we might be married with children today.
Oh my God, that might be the reason. You never know. That or he killed his friend Skeeter. We'll never figure that out.
That's actual outcome.
Yeah. Oh. A really nice first act to what is just pure perfection.
Oh, gosh. But even, like, you know, I kind of breezed over it in that I didn't even mention it. But even in, like, the way that the show does its title, you get a little bit of an opener and a little bit of the feeling of what the episode is going to be about. And then it breaks. And when you presumably would come back from your first commercial break, it would tell you the title. And I can just remember, I can still hear like that paint bucket walking noise. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, in the title, Doug is trying to write it. And then Porkchop comes in and kind of like makes a giant mess of things. And they leave a light on and Doug ends up walking with a paint bucket on his foot. But yeah, if you've seen the show before, especially if you're a kid, I kind of think that you can picture this noise. Like, I can't imitate the noise, but you guys know what I'm talking about. And then the light flick, like that flick off sound.
Yeah. If only we had a really good editor that could like put that in or something.
If only. But overall, a really good segment. I guess I wasn't really paying attention to the time that it was, but it was engrossing and I didn't feel rushed that first segment of it.
Yeah.
So no,
neither did it. It felt longer than it was in the best way possible. Like that right. Felt like it could have been in just a whole, you know,
whole episode
itself. Yeah, for sure.
So our next segment is Doug's Garage Band. And this is the episode that I have the most memories from. This is the song that will be earwormed into my head.
Yes.
It is the perfect length because it is just like one chorus. This episode opens up to Skeeter and Doug outside of a record store, and Skeeter plays drums and is just like banging on a trash can with his drumsticks and then strumming on the streetlight. Was it? Or
banging on a trash can, drumming on a streetlight.
Drumming on the streetlight, strumming on a banjo.
Yeah.
So they're outside a record store and there's like a TV playing in the window and it goes over like a conversation or an interview with like this really well-known rock star who's part of the Beats, right? That was who that was.
And there is an amazing adult joke in there. Absolutely incredible one.
I didn't even catch it.
I didn't catch it either.
So the interviewer asked this member of the Beats, like, so what was your inspiration for this song? And he goes, you know, so we were just hitting a bowl, you know, like a bowl and pot can and like lids and trash cans and stuff like that. But he said we were hitting a bowl and then quickly like, well, you know, like a bowl. And like, I'm like, yes, that was a good joke.
Well, I just, you know, be hitting a bowl or, you know, a cat.
I was so subtle that adult Sia didn't even.
I was like, yeah, I know what you mean. You're drumming on the street. I get it.
Meanwhile, I'm like, yeah, man, you're like hitting that bowl, man.
Oh, you can tell which one of us is. Who's the squares? As I push up my ass in.
Why do you always like go to a different state? We're just squares over here.
I'm expanding my vocal abilities. Thank you very much.
Or you're schizophrenic. I don't know what's going on.
I mean, you know, potato, potato. I don't know.
She's like, Sai, it's a boot time to go to bed.
You'll kill the hydroid.
Oh, have I mentioned anyway, how much sorry. I really enjoy doing this show with you guys? Oh, it's so great. It's the greatest. I appreciate you so much.
This is why I get garbage shots.
I was almost offended until I remembered that I named it garbage. So anyways, any who's its. they watch this quick little documentary or interview with this lead singer, lead person in the band The Beats, which is like the well-known rock band for their town or for the world that they're in. And they decide that they're going to start their own garage band. And they have like this dream sequence of Doug and Skeeter in like rock and roll-esque outfits, like long hair. And for some reason, Skeeter gets an accent. Yep. I'm in good company with the random accents. Thank you very much. gets like an English accent and starts talking about how, yeah, they're big rock stars, but they come back to the garage to riot and you can get like inspiration from anything. And Doug starts singing into and about a toilet plunger. And it was cute. It was a cute little sequence. And then they decide that they're actually going to write a song, and they quickly write out the song that will be the bane of my existence for like a long time.
With Porkchop being the music producer.
Yeah, it shows the scene of them playing their instruments in a room in Doug's house. And Porkchop is just with like the mixer and headphones on, like he's producing the song. But it is banging on a trash can, drumming on a streetlight, strumming on a banjo. One little voice keeps calling me, one little voice keeps calling me. That is the entire song.
With such disdain. I know you're going to hate this.
Hate to contradict you, though. If you guys would have finished the credit sequence, there's another verse.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I can't.
Did you catch what it was?
It just changed what they were banging on. It was like concrete and stuff like that. It's not a big deal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they come up with this song and they spend the morning recording it. And they go to the hamburger joint, which I can't remember the name of, but I know it has like a specific name.
Yeah.
It is like prominently featured in the show for sure.
It's like Cosmic Burger or something like that. It's just like the local hangout. And they're there and they're talking about their band. And this extremely rude radish head chick walks up.
Is it BB, yeah.
It starts making fun of him. Oh, you guys have a band? Do you really? And they're like, yeah, we already recorded our first song. And then suddenly she knows somebody in the record industry. And she'll do them a favor and float them the tape. And maybe they'll play it and they'll like it. So good news comes later, although they do mention after they give her the tape that this was the big break they had been waiting all morning for, which I really enjoyed. It was just a quick little kid logic they slipped in there. BB shows up later in the day to Doug's house and says, hey, great news, they loved your tape, and also I'm in your band now. And Doug's like, no, I don't think that you are. I think that it was just gonna be me and Skeeter. We're gonna keep it small. And BB presses and says, hey, no, just two guys in a band. That's too small. You have to think big. And that prompts another music video sequence that's like actual like a music video that showed the title at the bottom and like from Think Big Records or whatever that it was. And it's a mashup between Think Big, which from what I can tell is just somebody saying Think Big over and over with different like calls to people in the music industry. You got to think big. Brian, I think you made a good point when we were watching the show. Like 75-80% sure that Miley Cyrus's Came in Like a Wrecking Ball was definitely inspired by the music video.
Absolutely.
It is banging a weird, trash can.
Weird coincidence for sure. She just swings in.
Yeah, she swings on. I mean, there's no wrecking ball on it, but it's the hook for a wrecking ball.
Dressed all slutty.
Mind you, when this episode came out, like Miley Cyrus was just a gleam in Billy Ray's eyes. Like she did wasn't not even, exist yet.
Wasn't even a little sperm yet. Like that's that wasn't right. even, yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, there's no need to slut shame. BB can be up. BB can be how BB wants to be, which is ways.
They're in middle school at this point. No,
they're not even in middle school at this point.
Oh, elementary. Sorry. So no, they can't.
So we need to call social services on BB's family. And so this music video plays out and there's like a bunch of calls to Big Suits, which Brian, I think you mentioned was like a Weird Al reference because it must have happened before this video, right?
I feel like it was maybe a little bit of a Weird Al reference.
They were referencing Michael Jackson with the black suit and the white glove. They were referencing just a bunch of other like music industry well-known icons for the 90s, which was really entertaining. They play through this music video, and then it comes that Doug decides that they do need more people in the band. And that they, it turns out they have a gig that they're going to play, that this cousin of BB, who's in the record industry, has a gig for them. So Doug sets out to make sure that they're going to put on their best performance ever at this gig and to get somebody to do lights and sound. And he goes to talk to Patty, and Patty has a friend over, and he tells Patty, hey, we have this cool thing happening. And those two friends want to jump in. So it ends up that there's like 40 people in this band. There's like 6 or 7 drummers. There's the electronic harp or the audio harp. Patty plays drums too. And Doug is like, yeah, I have a crush on you. You can again come before my best friend. That's fine. And throws her in on drums. And the AV kid plays drums. And the creepy corpse kids play guitar.
The weird twins, yeah. They're just like, they're a gray kind of dead color. So it's off-putting.
Yeah, I mean, like a staple of the show is there's just like a whole rainbow of colors of people. Like, it's not like... Skeeter is like teal or greenish, and lots of people are purple or brown, or this particular shade of gray made these kids look like corpses, but okay.
Skeeter is a chameleon because his color changes constantly of like various shades of blue and green, like depending on the scene.
He's just a different hue of teal depending on his mood. Yeah. I think that's what it was.
He's a mood ring of
a
person.
Yeah.
All right.
So they end up going to this gig with like 40 people playing a bunch of different instruments. There's like this giant tuba horn thing and just a myriad of instruments. And they show up to play this gig. And it turns out that it's a even littler kid's birthday party. So Doug and his friends aren't even in middle school. They are also in elementary school. And they show up to play a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old's birthday party. And they're like, hey, when we got there, the first act was already playing and we had to go up after their show. And it's just a bunch of clowns. And as they leave, I can't do the voice, but as they leave the stage,
he's like, "Set's all yours, kid." Like, old smoker voice.
Like, this clown that was just up there, and all the kids were into it. And then, you know, he smokes like 5 packs a day and is turning it over to the 6th graders that are now going to bring down the house. And they go up and they play their song, and it still sounds okay, but it has clearly gone off the rails. It is not the original garage band idea that Doug and Skeeter had. And then it is revealed that the person that BB knows in the record industry is actually just the dude that works at the record store, who in the beginning of the episode actually told him to stop screwing around and like drumming on the trash can or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So they do their set, and then BB comes over to Doug and is like, hey, I have to talk to Doug alone. And Skeeter's like, okay, I'm just going to go get some cake, because he needed to dialogue. And he just walks off screen. BB goes, hey, Doug, just like that newsman, he didn't really think that you should be in the band, so you're out of the band. And Doug is like, oh, I'm out of the band. Oh, man. Like, in his... dripping with sarcasm, talking to BB.
Love that so much. Oh no, I'm out of the band.
Yeah, it was very well done, actually. Like, I appreciated that too. And then it's like this, because Doug has kind of like a Dear Diary kind of vibe. Like, he's often the narrator over the scene, and you kind of get the idea that he's telling the story, like writing it down or telling it to somebody. And so he makes a comment, you know, after the end of the day, I was out of the band, but that's okay. Skeeter and I don't need to be famous just yet. Maybe we'll save that for middle school, which like revealed that they're all in elementary school. Where are their parents?
I don't know.
Anyways, to my knowledge, that ends the episode. But apparently, Saya and I stopped watching and didn't watch all the way through the credits, and that there is another verse in the trash can song, which I don't know, and I'm sure that we'll listen to, and I'm sure it'll get stuck in my head too. But that's how that episode ends. And the closing music was also very entertaining and gave some flashbacks.
It was good.
Anything to add, either of you?
That was well done. No, you properly covered everything. So please join us after the break, where we're going to review Doug and play a little game. And we're back.
Sorry.
I wish you listeners could hear everything that we say, like in our breaks.
No, you don't.
No, you don't, there, coach.
You're welcome.
So as we do on the show, we are going to rate and review what we just watched, and our scale changes every single episode. So I think today we will rate Doug on a scale from 0 to 5 bowls. But, you know, like bowls and like pots and pans and stuff like that.
So how many we're purchasing from like Pottery Barn, or like how many
bowls you're hitting? You know, like pots and pans and bowls and stuff.
Like,
so the more bowls, the better.
The more bowls you hit, the better.
Okay. All right. I got to take a note on this. Hold on. Bowls are better. Okay. Okay. You're welcome.
Who would like to start?
I'll go ahead. I don't care. I'm gonna drum on 4 bowls.
Wow.
I don't think I'm gonna go for the full 5. There were a lot of things that I really liked about it. One of the first things that I noticed is that, unlike a lot of other cartoons, this one I didn't feel full on gave like an explanation as to what they were doing. Like he wasn't saying, oh, we need to go do this because this and this and this is going to happen. It felt more natural, mm-hmm. like especially in the end segment, like when he was being really sarcastic. I can't think of like another cartoon that was just openly sarcastic without explaining like, yeah, I didn't really want to be in the band.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that I really appreciated. Another thing that I absolutely loved, all the sound effects that were clearly done by someone's voice, like transitions and stuff. Yeah, just weird stuff like that. It was very brilliant. It was it gave a lot of like hints towards like kid imagination, mm-hmm. and stuff, which is really cool. But yeah, overall, I think it was super cool. I definitely want to watch a little more. The hearing how much you can recognize Billy West's voice now, like I couldn't picture Doug's voice beforehand very clearly, and that threw me for a loop. And yeah, super nostalgic and weird, but I loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll go next. That was a super good point about them not throwing plot in your face, because that is a trend that we see in like particularly like Nickelodeon cartoons that's meant for like younger audiences. Like, here's what's happening. Here's what's happening next. That was a really good point. I think that this show just oozes charm for it being pretty old and it looking a little rough and it sounding a little rough. It was so charming. It was so nice. It was like why are you laughing?
I'm sorry, but the word ooze is never a positive thing. So when you said ooze, I was like, where is he going with this? I thought he liked the show. I was caught off guard. Please continue. We're oozing positive things.
This show is shitting charm right out the ass.
Honestly, it kind of works better.
It is.
You can like shit gold and stuff, you know? Like, there could be positive connotations to shit. Ooze? Mm-mm.
This show blast you right in the face with charm. Is that better?
Yes. Ooh. Yeah, it's very accurate. It just blasts you right in the face.
It's very endearing. It's a very charming show. It's sincere. It's nice. It was just a fun ride, like beginning to end. The Indiana Jones spoof was brilliant. I'm a massive Indiana Jones fan, and I thought they played on that really nicely. The Banging on the Trash Can song has not been out of my head since the early 90s.
I know.
So you
it's
know,
just always been there.
Yeah. So you know that show is well written. Was they put love into that show. You can feel that almost like they really cared about what they were doing. It wasn't just a silly, like they didn't have like silly throwaway gags. Like, everything had purpose. It was just a nice ride. So with that, I'm gonna give it a solid 4.5 bowls. And the reason I take a half point off is just my own personal thing, is that I can't stop hearing Fry. Like that, yeah. Like I kept getting distracted by, like, if Futurama came out in the early 90s, that's what Fry would sound like. Like it's
absolutely,
it's uncanny. It's crazy. But I loved it. I loved every second of it. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I am going to share your bowl, Saya. When two people hit a bowl, it increases the experience. So I'm going to share all four of your bowls, if you're okay with that, if you're willing to share.
I'm just drumming on them. No,
you guys can absolutely pass bowls. Like it's perfectly fine.
Drugs. I'm going to give it a four bowls. I don't know. It had this feeling, like some of the shows that we've watched, they hit you with nostalgia and it was like, oh my gosh, I forgot all about that. But this one, like you said, it just kind of felt like it didn't feel like a blast from the past, although it was nostalgic. It was kind of like you knew what was going to happen. It was very familiar, but it did feel very heartfelt and it felt like a very genuine show and like a show that like was just on yesterday. Like, I don't know how they wrote it in a way that it just stuck in your brain so well.
Yeah.
But it wasn't terribly painful to visit. It wasn't like bad to watch. It didn't like ooze pus on the screen. Like was very, very well put together. I took one away, honestly, because this is going to be stuck in my head for so long. And it's going to get to a point where I'm angry about it. So I'm preemptively taking away bowls from the show. And I think in addition to that, the only other thing that I noticed that they do is obviously he's the main character. They wrote Doug very well, but they, as far as Skeeter, kind of just give him like quick one-off like things. Like there's not a whole lot of depth to his friend, but I only now see that as an adult. And I think like you both said, they did a very good job of not like walking you through every single emotion that was on the screen. It hit a lot of pop culture references that were really cool. I don't know. I can't give it five. I don't believe in half bowls. You got to pack it full or not have it at all. I mean,
Agreed.
Drum on it completely or don't drum on it at all. So I'm going to go with four for Doug. I also, when we were watching it, I got really interested because Patty, to me, sounded a lot like Sandy the Squirrel from SpongeBob.
Yeah.
And so I looked it up really fast, and it is not Sandy the Squirrel from SpongeBob. The voice actor is actually Constance Schulman. And her most recent, the thing that you would know her the most, anybody that watches the Netflix show Orange is the New Black, she's like the yoga instructor chick.
With the short hair. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah.
You just blew my mind.
It just oozed your mind.
I can totally hear it now. She kind of also looks like a drugged out Patty Mayonnaise in Orange is the New Black.
Yes. Yep. They probably cast her as the voice literally just based on the way that she looked. They were like, oh, okay. Yeah. Patty Mayonnaise. And yes, that's you. So yeah, I looked that up really fast. It was as soon as, like you said, as soon as I saw her and realized who it was, I was like, okay, yeah, I can. That's the voice.
Good find.
So I just want to throw that in there in my review. So
nice,
solid four bowls, well drummed.
I don't want to speak for everyone, but I would absolutely recommend this to anyone to watch nowadays. I think it holds up decently. I think this would be a decent show for my kids to watch when they're a little bit older.
There's nothing that's going on that's going to be above your head or so like lame or for children that it's going to be grating. So if you watched it previously in your childhood, if you haven't ever seen it, go watch it. It's on Netflix. Not Netflix, Hulu, which is where we watched it.
Hulu, yeah. Disney Plus has the new version, the Disney version, if I'm not mistaken.
Of Doug
that we haven't seen that one. So
yeah. I definitely recommend watching it as well. Very good show.
Yeah.
Very good show. Banging on a trash can.
All right. So the little game/exercise that I'm going to give us to do today, everything in the show, characters, places, bands, whatnot, are named very interesting ways. There's this there's kind of this condiment theme going around. There's patty mayonnaise, there's the beets, there's, you know, there's stuff like that. Or like there's just characters where it's like some of their physical attributes is in their name. So like there's a Mr. Swirly, who's got kind of swirly hair, and there's, you know, the main character's last name is Funny. He is the main character and he's funny. So basically what I want for you guys to do is I want you to give yourself a name for yourself in the Doug universe. It could be a physical attribute. It could just be condiment related, or it could be like a characteristic. So it can be your first name, but your last name's got to be something that describes you, or just straight up a condiment that you enjoy. And that's your Doug character. Hmm.
Oh, God.
So like for an example, Kayla, I have one for you. If I were to give you a name based on like a personality trait, I would just call you, I would call you Kayla Punny.
Kayla Punny?
Yep.
Aw, I like fitting. That.
Very fitting.
Can I use that?
Absolutely.
So I'm not just stealing yours. I'm not
So for me, if I had a condiment name, I would probably just be like Brian Sriracha, because I literally put sriracha in like almost everything that I eat. Like it's a problem. Like I made an egg sandwich this morning. I'm like, you know what this needs? Sriracha.
An egg sandwich?
Yep.
With sriracha.
With sriracha.
Do eggs and sriracha go together?
Oh, eggs and hot sauce is amazing.
Yeah. You're not a fan of hot sauce or
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, I would just be Kayla Bland because Kayla Bland. I don't.
You're just overcooked rice or something. Yeah.
I'm chicken and rice. That's my.
And then if I had to give myself a name based on like a personality trait, I'd be like Brian, like Crassman or something, because I'm a little crass. I'm a little inappropriate. And I feel like that would fit me decently in the Doug universe.
Hmm,
yeah. So either one of those.
I'd probably go with Sijo Shortman. just because the first name is really funny sounding. And
Sijo Shortman?
And I'm a short man.
I like it. And you definitely wouldn't be Josiah Pickles because you don't like them.
No, screw Pickles.
I'm trying to honestly think of what my favorite condiment is, but I would just be like Kayla Cool Whip, like the most bland
Kayla Cool Whip
thing that like you could add it to something. It would also be fine if it wasn't there. Like I'm not a spice person, so
I want to point out that the only thing that you mentioned was bland white rice and Cool Whip.
Kayla Cool Whip sounds like hipster-esque. Like,
okay, I'll be Kayla Cool Whip.
Yeah, Kayla Cool Whip's like offering cigarettes to kids or something outside that.
Oh, no. I mean, that's, yeah, okay, that fits my personality, too. I also really dig Kayla Punny. That's fine.
Kayla Punny.
My maiden name was Punny, but now I'm Cool Whip.
Yeah.
No, I think it'd be actually the other way around. My maiden name is Cool Whip, but now I'm Punny.
You're like, I'm married.
Because I whipped it good.
Oh,
jeez.
Yep.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah,
that's our show. Bye.
We made it. we did it, guys.
Ready to retire.
I think when the pandemic's over, they're going to study our podcast and like just see like our descent into madness.
It's
like
a study the of madness. yeah.
Well done.
That was a good way to end it. Is there anything else you guys want to cover before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a few things that I want to add before we wrap it up.
Sure.
A, that not all of my puns are that bad. Thank you. I also wanted to just thank our fans that kind of brought Doug to our attention, or like really pushed us to have Doug, because this was an excellent, excellent show to watch. And we love having those interactions with folks online.
Yeah, it's great.
It's been fantastic. Thank you for continuing to listen to us throughout all this BS going on in the world. It really does mean a lot. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we just hit, that's another good announcement for our listeners to know, because you guys have been sharing and liking and commenting and interacting with us. We hit over 1500 downloads.
Yep.
Which is insane to think about, that a number of people have listened to us that many times. Yeah, so just a big thank you to everybody that continues to support and listen to us. You're my favorite, each individual one of you.
It really does help keep me sane during all this, is just being able to do this and know that people are listening. It's a good feeling. So thank you for that. Josiah, what do you got to plug?
Once again, I'll plug Grace Note, a little home business that I have doing blacksmithing, metalwork, metal casting projects. They sound like they're of any interest to you. Go check that out at GraceNoteForge/YouTube. Also want to give a shout out to Brian and Melissa Harrison. Also, Amber and Joey Bola. They just had their babies. A lot of friends having babies in this scary time, but good for them. We're
the
really
babies.
Happy for them.
Yeah.
Yes, congratulations. Both of them named their kids Corona. I thought that was brave.
Why?
Damn it, Brian.
No, heartfelt congratulations to them. And Kayla, where can people find us should they choose to find us?
Jeez. If you still want to find us after all of this, once again, we are Cartoon Tonic Podcast. We're on Twitter under that handle, Facebook and Instagram, Cartoon Tonic Podcast. We also have cartoontonicpodcast@gmail.com, where you can interact with us, send us an email, let us know what you like and what you hate. We really love receiving suggestions from y'all and keeping up to date on all of our socials. So yeah, come talk to us, say hi.
Yeah,
I don't think Brian's gotten any pictures of people's grandmothers at the moment.
No.
We'll throw that back in their Instagram. That's a way throwback for anybody that hasn't listened to our back catalog just yet.
Listen, I need this right now. Okay,
I need this.
Listen, I can't go visit grandma's right now, so I need pictures. Okay, just let's make this happen.
Oh, it's sounding so much weirder.
That's Cartoon Tonic Podcast, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bang it on the trash can. Bang it on the street light.
Whoa, killer tofu.
Holy shit.
E-I-E.
Brian.
Ugh. I'm going to have to take sleeping pills to sleep tonight. At Cartoon Tonic, we drink responsibly and hope you do too. Thanks for listening.